You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
And tonight, we are...
Queens, hello. Welcome back. My name is Josh. If this is your first time joining us here at the Queendom Podcast, welcome. I'm really excited to have you here. Make sure you go back and check out the past episodes because we have a ton of fun stuff there for you to have a listen to. But before we dive into this next week's episode, that's a new one, this week's episode with Amy Bridges, I have a cool announcement that I'm really excited to share with you guys. So from now, right now, as you're listening to this, right up until September 15th, you have the opportunity to get your story told in a book that will be published and sent to the cast, crew, writers, and potentially producers of Six the Musical. This is a really exciting opportunity for everybody in the Queendom to kind of share what Six means to them and how it's impacted their lives. And I want everybody out there that listens to this, sees the video that I posted on Instagram, to be involved in Project Herstory. This is going to be a really fun, large-scale project, and I want as many people involved in it as possible. So if you are keen to have your story told, all you have to do is write it out in one page. So if you jump onto, say, Google Docs or something like that, fill in one page about what Six means to you or how it's impacted your life, and you have to email it to info@thequeendomonline.com. That email address is down below, by September 15th, to have your story in the book. And I am really excited. The books are going to be available. I think I'm going to try and make them as cheap as possible. So it's going to be like 99 cents to get the ebook or something like that, in respective currencies. So yeah, stay tuned. This is going to be a really amazing project, and I can't wait to release more info in the coming weeks and days and months, and yeah, keep you guys up to date with where we are at. But we are here for another guest, all the way from Breakaway. This is probably one of my favorite Welsh actresses involved with the show at the moment, Miss Amy Bridges. We have an absolutely amazing chat. It's so fun, and I hope you guys enjoy. So, as always, it is time to get down. Here we go.
I'm the queen of the castle. Get down, you dirty rascal. Get down.
Hey, queens, how's it going? It is Josh here, and welcome back to the Queendom Podcast for another episode. I'm joined by Amy Bridges, our Seymour out on one of our cruise ships. Hey, Amy, how are you going?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am wonderful. Welcome to the podcast. First timer here, like many of the other people that have been before you. thanks for coming and hanging out with us today.
No, thank you for having me.
Anytime. So we always start off with some quick fire questions. So we're going to jump straight into it, put you in the deep end straight away.
Okay.
So if you, the question is, do you speak any other languages?
I don't, unfortunately. Even though I am Welsh, I wish I could speak it, but no. I know.
And I didn't realize you were Welsh until just then. Can you pronounce that ridiculously long town name in Wales?
Yes. Well, I can try my best anyway. Llanfair Pwllgwyngyll Gogerau Chwyndrobau Llantrysilio Gogogoch.
That has just made my day. that is great. Someone asked
but
me that.
I am learning Bulgarian as well, because my boyfriend is from Bulgaria. So I'm trying my best. I can read and write and say it, but I cannot translate it. That's the issue.
halfway there.
I'm getting there slowly.
What is one of the weirdest places that you've either rehearsed or had to warm up for a show?
Oh, rehearsed or warmed up for a show? I remember I've done some warm-ups underneath some stages. That was quite interesting, because then you've got all the kit hidden underneath the stage, and it was probably one of the biggest rehearsal spaces, because I sometimes, before I was doing a show, I would do T25, It's like another, instead of Insanity, it's done by the same guy, Sean T, but it's done in like 25 minutes instead of like an hour long session. So I would just do that as like an initial warm up before the full cast warm up.
Yeah.
And so I had to kind of like take myself somewhere else, and it was under stages or in these weird little corridors or something like that. And trying to, that's probably some of the weirdest places I've done it.
There we go.
Oh, I had a weird experience of getting changed though, which is probably more of a memory, because we did a show in we were doing a show when I was in drama school called Ting Tang Mine, and we were in this tiny little off West End theater, and there's no real dressing room. There's like one tiny one, so for a whole cast of girls and boys, so we all ended up like we were changing in the corridor, all next to each other in this tiny little space. That was probably one of the weirdest things for me, because it wasn't a room.
Yeah.
So that was probably the weirdest.
Last but not least, before we get into the reason why we're here, what's your spirit animal?
Ooh, I've recently discovered, and I think it's in Australia, is it the quokkas? The ones you can have like the selfies with?
Yeah.
Quokkas, oh my gosh. So I saw photos of them and they're just like,
yeah.
I think that's probably my new spirit animal.
They are absolutely adorable. I'll try and smuggle one over when I come over your way. Probably not allowed, but we'll try. So getting into theatre, Amy, what was your introduction into the performing arts? How did you get into being on stage?
So I guess it started when I was in primary school. I was never picked to play the parts, because I was so loud and could, I guess, project. I was always more of the narrator roles, so I would just be the ones like learning and reading the lines, because at least you could hear me at the back. So that's how it kind of started, and I was just always like, oh, I want to be at the front, because I love to sing. Mainly it was a band called Steps and Spice Girls.
Yes.
Yeah, I was a big Steps fan. First time I cut my hair short was because I wanted to look like Claire from Steps. But when I was in our final year in primary school, and my friend and me were actually off ill when they were doing the casting. And because it was our last year, they were letting us like pick what role we wanted to be. So when we came back in, there was only two roles left, and it was either the lead boy or the nanny. And my friend was like, oh, I always play the nanny, because she had glasses and things like that. And I was like, but I was like, please, Izzy, you know, I love to sing. And I was like, please let me do this, because the lead boy role in a way had several solo songs. And she was like, fine. She was like, but you owe me. And it was probably the first time really that I sang and performed like that properly in front of people. And I loved it. And it was ever since then, when I went to comprehensive, I would sing for children in need, for the Eisteddfod, like any time there was a chance to sing or perform. Yeah. I was in, I think, all of the end of year shows, and that's where it started. But I didn't know that it was like something I could go into. And so for me, it was just like a hobby. And I was like, oh, I love doing this on the side. It's great.
And now you're here doing it professionally.
I know. It's mad. I'm very lucky.
So the reason you're here is because you're in this little show called Six. And if you're joining us on the podcast for the first time and you don't know anything about this show, probably go back and listen to episode 2. I think I do a pretty good wrap up of the show. But if you could wrap this show up in a quick spot, how would you explain it to somebody that's never heard of Six before?
Girl power. Girl power.
Yeah. Pretty summed it up
in two words. There's so much strength in all the women's stories. They're so strong, and they're not what you think they're going to be and what they're known for in history. And when you get to watch the show, it just changes your perspective on it all, really. And it just goes to show how strong they are and how strong women can be.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's cool.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's funny. Yeah. Girl power.
Love. That's a very solid summary of this show. What was your introduction to Six? How did you first discover the show?
So I saw, I'm not sure who they did it with, but it was, and it might have been Perfect Pitch, but I know that they released the Ex-Wives song, and that was on it was on Facebook, and I was like, and I listened to it then, and I was like, oh my God, I love this. I need to know what this is. And this was before I think it was anywhere near what it is now.
Yeah.
And I was just waiting for when that soundtrack was going to come out. And it kind of gone off my radar a little bit. And then all of a sudden the soundtrack album was here and I hear the first song. I was like, oh my God, this is the song. This is the album I've been waiting for. And that was it. I was hooked then from the first time I heard that's Ex-Wives, the recording that went on Facebook. That was it.
Knowing that, then going into your audition, what was it like knowing that you were going to audition for this show that you've kind of been hooked on for a while, getting that?
I was nervous. I get nervous for most auditions because, for me, if you're nervous, you still care. So I clearly still passionate about this and I want to do it. And I was so nervous going because I was like, this is a really cool show.
Yeah.
And all of the songs are amazing. I was like, just having the opportunity to try to be to any of these queens would be amazing. And I just remember working so hard on my audition songs just to be like, give me a chance. And I was trying to think of what to wear because I was like, this is such a cool show and I'm so not cool. And I was like, how do I be more cool? And it was just, I was starting to almost overthink it in a way. I was like, what can I do? And I just was like, you know what? Just go and be you. And that sounds really cheesy, but I was like, that's the best that I can be. And I was like, there's no point trying to be anybody else or what I think the queens are supposed to be like. Because at this point, I still hadn't seen the show. I'd only heard the soundtrack. And I was like, just go in and try your best. And I was so happy with how I did when I left the room and I was like, oh, please call me back. Because I was like, you know what? I could not have done any better. And I was so proud of myself. And then when I got the recall and the queens they wanted me to be seen for, I was over the moon. And then it was just everywhere. I was like, come on.
What was your?
Aragon, Seymour and Parr. They did ask for Howard once and I was like, are you sure? And then I went in and sang Howard once and I was never asked for it again. I was like, I didn't think so.
And then they found Jazz and your cast got formed, which looking at your cast is an amazing bunch of human beings. We've had Georgia on the podcast already. Amelia's on her way in. You've got an amazing bunch of swings. Like the whole cast is pretty amazing and you get to bring one of the emotional sides of the show. So going from your audition, getting the call, knowing that you've got Seymour, what was your initial process to find out more about who she was as a human?
It's amazing that we have the internet. So I just tried to do as much research as I could. And what was amazing as well is when we the first like day of rehearsals and things like that, we were given a queen project to do. And so we all had to do pair up in our queens and with one of the swings and they would help us. And we basically did a history project or we had to somehow put it away across in our own way, just to fill everyone else in on everything that we'd learned about our queen so far. Me and Lizzie had done it like a YouTube channel kind of interview kind of thing. And she, at the end of the interview, she was doing the whole subscribe to my channel. And it was so much fun just to try and be creative with it. So it didn't become just like, oh, it was so much fun. And she's brilliant. To be fair, all my girls are. I love them so much.
Yeah.
And it was just a fun way of making it not like a history lesson.
Yeah.
or making at least a fun history lesson.
Yeah.
So that's how we started with the characters and just finding out as much research as possible. And then for me, it's also then reading the script and seeing how she speaks on the page.
Yeah.
And the kind of direction that the writers seem to wanted to go in, and then breaking down the song musically with breaths and things like that. And it's like, why? I like to ask a lot of whys.
Yeah.
Like, why is it like this? And why does she breathe here? And why does she say this? And why does she go higher here? And why is there a key change here? And just trying to think of all those reasons and what would make this person do this.
Yeah. That's an intense way of thinking. That's great. I love that. What was the first table read like for you? How did you, what was that experience like, hearing everything, knowing that you are now one of these people that you've been listening to, that you're about to portray this, and then hearing everybody else put their part in as well at that first read?
It's such an amazing feeling. And what was different for me in a way is I hadn't heard any of the other girls sing, or the only other person I'd heard was Amelia, because I was in a different audition to these girls because I had done it a couple of times before. And I was originally in with the Bliss girls as rehearsal swing.
Okay.
And then, so when it came to doing the breakaway, these girls had all done auditions post my turnaround. So I was like, so interested to know who these people were. Because normally, I know like Caitlin had explained the process before, when you're doing the audition, you're all singing in front of each other and cheering each other on. But you kind of then, when I joined the Bliss, I was like, oh, well, I know all of these girls. And so I knew exactly kind of what I was looking for, what I was expecting to hear.
Yeah.
So when we did it for the breakaway, I was buzzing.
It was like a brand new experience. And it was like, oh, these are the 9 voices that I've got around me. Here we go.
Yeah. And because I'd heard then the Bliss girls doing it, and that was so sensational. And then I was like, now I'm actually part of these queens doing it.
Yeah.
And just hearing different voices and going, oh, that's so much different to what Blahdy Blah does. Or that's, oh, I love that interpretation. And oh, that's so different. And it was such a fun, almost overwhelming experience.
Yeah.
And I love those moments.
Yeah, that's amazing. And coming from Bliss and working with Caitlin and that type of thing, and knowing how she had created her Seymour, how much had you already kind of learnt stepping into this role? Did you have an idea of how you were going to put together your own version of this character?
What's amazing is Caitlin and I are completely different performers, even though we were both we're both doing the same role. We both had complete different interpretations of it. And like Caitlin's is really like geeky and quirky and things like that. Whereas I am probably more of like, I cannot wait to be a mum. I am such a mumsy person. I've got that mother bone. And but I'm quite awkward to make all the dad jokes. So I kind of knew that my Seymour was probably going down playing on the dad joke.
So essentially, it was your personality on stage with...
Yeah. Yeah, in a way. So I was Seymour in the route that way was going to be easy, but I was very much aware of the emotional challenges that were going to be coming my way, because I saw how Caitlin was initially struggling with the scenario, because we were given some scenarios to help with the monologues and the songs at first.
Yeah.
And it is hard to sit there and have all the girls around you while you're supposedly holding your firstborn child and you're going to die.
And it's
something really hard to relate to when you haven't been through that. And so it was finding my own emotional triggers and using my own past story to bring that emotion out. And I'm quite an emotional person anyway, so I wear my heart on my sleeve. I'll cry at anything. So for me, the challenge was, once I had found that emotional journey, and it was something I was even struggling with on ship, it was such a learning curve for me of how far to take the emotion.
yeah.
and still be able to control everything else and sing.
That was going to be my next question. Like, how do you, because Heart of Stone gets deep real quick, and then you've got to turn around for Holbein and be all jittery again. So, like, it's like, how do you get to the peak of, and then you got to come down and straight back up again to this complete polar opposite of a high?
Yeah, for me, the monologue beforehand really does help. It allows you to set it up and bring everyone back down, especially because we've just done Don't Lose Your Head, and I think we all end up going a bit ham in that. Because everyone's just loving that number so much, and all the queens that have done Berlin are amazing. You can't help but feed off that energy, especially if you've seen Kelly.
I watched the
Omega Sixes, and
I watched the trailer that was released the other day for you guys, and I was like, oh man,
you see her dance moves.
I want to see
they changed every show
so bad. You guys just look so good.
It was brilliant. Her I Want to Dance and Sing and the little musical break for there, it changed every show. She had us all being like, oh gosh, what's going to happen this time? But she gives such a great energy to feed off that you can't help but go full out for that number. And you've obviously gone out for Ex-Wives, No Way, then Don't Lose Your Head. And then you've got to somehow breathe and bring it all back to be able to do Heart of Stone. And everyone, even the audience are on a bit of a buzz from Don't Lose Your Head, and you've got to then get that attention back.
Yeah.
And I think the monologue really helps set that up. And then it's just finding the journey through the song, because it sounds so sad, and it's just like, oh, it's the ballad, and it's keeping it light in the beginning and finding the light and shade throughout the song, so you're not all the way through like, oh. So then by the time you hit that emotional peak and the emotional release of the big you're then like, oh, like that's then when it kind of hits you, because you're kind of like keeping it down. I'm okay. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
And I think that was so hard to play with, because for me, I think quite a few people, when you're trying not to cry, I get so tight
builds up
in my throat, and I'm anger, anything. It's all connected as well. So for me, it was a big learning curve. And I kind of think that even though unfortunately our journey ended a lot sooner than we were hoping it to, I was still playing with it by the end.
Yeah,
it was still something I was learning from, and probably will learn from for a long time. But I'm glad that I've had the chance to start learning that now. While I'd like to say I'm a bit young, I'm young in this world. I'm not really, but
you're only
still learning.
It's fine. So the emotional arc of Seymour is intense, but she's also, as we've mentioned, got that quirky dad joke side. And my favorite part is the outburst at Aragorn.
Howard. I think
I died. That I
yeah
I, yeah that.
Oh that one
yeah
oh,
like closer oh, to oh, the oh. end the when I wanted to hold my newborn son, I died, like that. Every night I was like, I don't know how to take this. I don't know if it's like an emotional, like painful thing, or if you're actually just having a laugh. Like, what was your interpretation on that line? Because that's something I've been wanting clarification on from this point.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember now. So by that point, like you're saying, she's already been on such an emotional journey. And I think, guys, I got the plague. Okay, Howard. So it's just before the K Howard bit. So I was trying to go through the story then. So
yeah, sorry, I was
K
trying
Howard
to piece
well.
It in my head, and I was like, it's not working.
Yeah, no, I just had to go through the next couple of lines and like, okay, so who speaks next? Right.
Yeah.
And by that point, she's already had a bit of an emotional journey, and I think she's a bit fed up of everyone, was fed up of people then casting her aside as in like, well, you were fine.
Yeah.
And then she's fine, and I think, because she's also had that emotional release in the song, that she's kind of like lost it a little bit, like, and is trying to find that control again. And I think for someone then to be like, oh, but I got to hold my child, and it's like that's the one thing that she cared most about in this world is that child, and she didn't get that.
Yeah.
And so how dare you say that and try and use that as ammo against us, especially me.
Yeah.
And okay. And so for me, I would kind of be like a little bit almost like skitty with it and just be like, hang on now. And by the time I got to the I died, I'm like, oh, I've gone a bit too far. Awkward. I think that's kind of how, well, that's how I wanted it to kind of play, I guess.
That I love that. That's so good. I'm hearing you explain it and watching it in my head, and it's fantastic. So we've mentioned your amazing cast, and being stuck on a ship with these amazing human beings, what is that experience like? Not only performing the show with them, but living every minute of every day with them.
Ship life can be hard because, like you said, you not only work with them, you live with them. Anyway, like we were all on, pretty much all of us on the same corridor. And so if, I mean, we were quite fortunate that we didn't have you, but I've worked on some ships before. And if you have something go a little bit wrong, or like you're in a bit of a mood, or you're having a bit of a bad day, or some words have been said, you can't exactly go home, rant off to your mum and partner and cool off and then go back to work the next day a fresh person. You end up going back to your cabin. You don't get to speak to the people that you want to speak to, who you'd not like, especially for something so small. And you're just like, I'm just having a bad day. It kind of follows you around. And I was so lucky to have the girls that I was with, because if there were times when we were having down days, you had a nice little cheeky knock on the door or a little message just to be like, hey, we're here, or be like, look, do you want to come round and watch some TV? And or they would come round and be like, you've been in here for a couple of days now, what's up? And like, we're not leaving until you talk, and that kind of thing. And like, we had some, like, it was Jess, it'd be a nice big birthday on the ship, and so we all came together and celebrated that, and yeah, just tried to make everything as special as we could for each other, and just enjoy all those little moments. And they were just so supportive and great. And it's mad because it does, it's always that cheesy thing of like, but they are like sisters to me now. Like we had a little morning coffee morning yesterday, and like a little,
I saw all of us on one Zig, like, Zoom. Oh.
So yeah, we're just constantly talking and chatting away, and we've got a group going, and we've already planned a night out for when this is all over. And
yes,
I'm really, really lucky.
Yeah, that's amazing. And we've chatted on how hard ship life can be before in the podcast with a couple of the other guests, so we won't delve into too much of that. Putting this show together, was there a moment in rehearsals with this crew, so the breakaway crew, that you were like, this is going to be special? Obviously, you'd been through a little bit with the Bliss girls. Then coming to the breakaway, did you have a moment where you were like, here we go. Yeah, this is going to.
Yeah, it was interesting because when I was with the Bliss, for me, it's that first time we sat down and we started singing through the whole show. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I'm a part of this. I was like, I may just be a rehearsal thing for now, but I was like, when I'm Jane Seymour, this is going to be incredible. And I was just buzzing off that energy. And for me, I was like, this is something special to be a part of. And I was, so when I went to do the breakaway, then I was like, oh, is it going to be the same? Because obviously I hadn't heard anyone sing.
Yeah.
And I was, and I think the bar was kind of set pretty high with the Bliss girls. And I was just like, oh my gosh, okay, well, we can only do our best. And it was the same. Like the first moment we sing that first live, I was like, ah, it's amazing. Oh,
that first live gets me. It's so different when it's in person too. When you hear that, even though you know it's coming, when you hear it, you're like,
you can't prepare for it. And it was goosebumps all over my cheeks, my arms, my hairs on the back of my neck. I was just like, oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be so good.
So what was your favorite part of the rehearsal process? Putting a show together, what was your favorite part, whether it be with Bliss or Breakaway?
I thoroughly enjoy in the rehearsal process, when we were working with the directors and things like that, and doing the song breakdowns and the monologues and the little games that they had. And it was so interesting to be see the scene set in different scenarios, to see what kind of, and just watching all the other queens work and seeing what the different scenario would then bring out in them and their character. And then being like, okay, so you need to remember these now to bring to this bit or this bit. And it would be like, oh my goodness, yes. And just, I love the rehearsal process so much. I love to watch it all coming together and just watching little moments and be like, oh, and you can see someone's light bulb just go ding. Oh,
that is so, that's such a good moment.
Or even your own. Present.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there would be a moment, I'd be like, what's going on here? And I'd be like, ding. Oh my gosh, I know exactly what's going on. And
like,
oh.
Everything like pulls up your body and you're like, oh, that actually physically actually just clicked.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think I live for those kind of moments. And there were so many throughout the rehearsals. I was just like, oh, just.
Yeah.
Oh, it was amazing.
In your opinion, what is the most powerful moment in the show?
The end of All You Want to Do.
The.
Easy.
Her.
The. When you're coming, when we're all, when the hands are all, if you haven't seen the show,
yes.
But there's a part where right at the end, she says connection and all our hands are placed on Howard's body in all different places. And that realization, I think, for the audience of, oh, this isn't a fun number.
No.
This actually is very, very serious to talk about. And the look on, I've only ever seen Alicia and Georgia do it, and just with both of them, it's just that whole realization of their feeling of the hands on their body. And from then on till the end of the number, the last chorus, and to the end where she gasps, and it's just I don't see how that can't hit people.
Oh man, it got to a point where I was feeling uncomfortable watching it. Like I was like sitting there, I was like, oh yeah, like,
which is great in a way because that's how you're supposed to feel. You're supposed to not feel comfortable with this situation and what's happening to her. And the almost every time Georgia did it, the audience was silent.
Oh man,
it would either be silent or someone would then be cheering because of the exceptional performance she did.
Yeah,
but the majority of the time they were left in silence of, what did I just witness?
Like, there's always like a couple of seconds after that gasp where people are like, am I supposed to clap right now? It's almost like people second guess whether all that most theater shows, so, like you'll have this one song where it's like, do I clap for that? Like, is that something I'm supposed to applaud? And
you can just hear the pin drop and it's just, I think that is the, is a powerful part of the show. Other than us all coming together and being like, we don't need your love, but for me, like, that moment is just when we were in rehearsals, first of all putting our hands on her and knowing what it was symbolizing, and this, just these group of women doing it, it was, that was uncomfortable. And the first time she's processing it, to then every show that we're doing, it never got easier. And I think we all felt it, because of, it's such a poignant moment in the show of, this is something that we're teaching you in a way, like a big lesson
in the show too, like
real relevant.
You take out the beheadings and like the divorces and all of that, Howard's story is probably the most relevant out of the six to today's society.
And
the fact that these women lived 500 years ago doesn't bode well for society, like that this is still a thing.
Still a thing. Yeah. And I think it's amazing that that's in the show and we are able to share that on stage and hopefully make a difference, because the amount of what was amazing on the ship was the amount of young boys who were leaving the theater as well, being like, oh my God, I love that show. And then family saying, my son loved it. And things like that, and just knowing that we're also having an effect on these young gentlemen's lives, and that they're hopefully they will grow up, and it might affect them in a positive way. Fingers crossed.
I feel like this show definitely, as a guy myself, like seeing the effect that it's having on the other males in the queendom, it's definitely having that check yourself. Like, are you promoting the right things in your life? Are you treating the women in your life the right way. I feel like it's definitely making people think, which is fantastic. And I absolutely adore this show for that.
Yeah.
So the show comes together. We go through all the highs and lows. What was that first full run through like when you guys absolutely smashed it to a T? You got to the end of the Mega Six and you were like, we ready.
I don't think anything beats that feeling. And for us, I think one of the moments I remember the most is from we had just finished the rehearsal runs back in Tampa. And there were the office runs. So we'd had guests in to come and watch it, all of the creators in NCL and things like that. Everybody was there. And we finished the last office run before we had to leave to go to the ship. And during the playoff bit at the end, we were just all jumping for joy. And we caught, and the swings came over, like all of our swings. So we were all in the middle together because they, bless them, were working their butts off on the side of the stage. They ran the whole show with us. And so we all just came together and we was just like, we did it. We've got it. This is it. This is only the beginning. And it was also, I think, quite emotional as well, because obviously then we were to lose our rehearsal swings, Maddie and Laura. And it was just like just this huge moment that I won't forget.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
That is pretty cool. Heading onto the ship, setting yourself up, are you a superstitious person when it comes to theatre? Do you have any things that you need to have either in your dressing room or need to do before a show?
I don't know if it's like a superstition thing that if I don't do it, I'm going to have a bad show. But I do like to, just before we were going on and we were all stood on the rostra, I would have like a little moment to myself and my guardian angels and just be a bit like, you've got this, just go out there, smash it. You know what you're doing. Just go and enjoy. And just like the little confidence boost of go smash it. But I would do it kind of, I'm stood there. My arms are already on my hips and I'm just breathing in with my eyes closed, and then the moment it goes doom, that would just be I would open my eyes and I'm Seymour. Like that was the moment. Like there's like Amy's on the side of stage now, she's in the dressing room or whatnot, and it would just be you're listening to it all playing and you're hearing the drums and you're like breathe in and boom, and that was it. And we were just in you had the kabukis open and you're just going for it, and that was just something I did every show.
Yeah, that's amazing. How do you explain the switch into your Holbein alter ego?
Oh, into our Wilhelmina. I was called Wilhelmina. Have I lost you? Oh no, you're back.
No, you're good.
We're quite lucky. Is at the end of the song, obviously you have the balloon being like a severed head and you get to run off. So yeah. At the end of Heartstone, I can take that moment to be like, whew, okay, it's done. Switch it up now, bring it back. And I think the moment you've got those ruffs on and we do the whole prep and we set up and then we've got the hands, as soon as those glasses go on, you are somebody else. And it's just, it's so such a moment though. You just feel so fierce and you've got your UV green glasses on and you just feel like, let's go. Like that's kind of just how I would use that switch up, because then when you're turning round, bam. That's it. Moment. Don't take any of them for granted. Hit them hard.
100%. What was it like seeing Seymour for the first time, seeing your costume arrive in and seeing it all together?
Oh, it's mad because of the fact that I was fortunate enough to see it on Caitlin and everybody else, and you see the posters and all the other costumes, that seeing it in front of, like when I was going for the fittings and before, and it was just like, oh, this is exciting. It was just like a little nervous, little bubbly energy, but it was just like a piece of material then. And when I was in Tampa and I see it and it's all done and it's mine and that costume's for me, it's such an exciting feeling and just like this little buzz of, I guess in a way it was like almost looking at it and going, oh, I did it. It's like that little more realization of, oh, you know what, I I'm doing this. This is happening. It's real. It's all those little things. And you're just like, oh, goodness, this is happening, right? This is happening. Little pinch me moments, I guess.
Yeah.
And I was seeing it in front of me. And I had my sparkly shoes and it was all on and we were doing the photo shoot and it was just like, this is happening. This is real.
I love
that. Maybe see more.
Little video you posted of yourself the other day for the photo shoot.
Yes, it was International Dance Day.
Yeah.
And I was having a little look at all the little videos I got and I was like, oh, well, and it was like another Mega Six and things like, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to post this little clip that nobody's seen before because I just have it. That was like it. I had my costume on, Beyonce's playing, and I was just loving myself, I guess, in a way, just enjoying and being like, I did it. I'm going to be Jane Seymour in Six.
Yeah.
It's mad. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It was a fun little moment.
So we've touched on girl power, and I think the moment in Six, just before Six, the slow one of a kind. What I feel like most of the people have touched on this emotional moment. What was that moment like for you? That one of a kind, where you kind of get to look around and say, "Yep, cool, we're coming to the end of the show, but we smashed it out tonight." What was that like, being able to do that every night?
I love that moment. And it was probably one of my favorite moments of the whole show, because you get to see a queen by queen go down the line and just be like, yeah, we did that. And it went really well. And I'm proud of us all. And it was just always such a lovely moment. And
you've got the joke.
Like, in a way, I'm a bit, yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, I get a bit of a joke. I'm a bit, like, emotional over it because I knew that was going to be a hard moment to do for our last show. And we didn't get it. So, I don't know. It's like, it's a weird one because, in a way, it's probably best that we almost didn't, because I don't know if I would have gotten through it. It would not have been a joke.
You're barely getting through thinking about it. It's making I know, me go and as it's, well.
And I think it's because it's such a lovely moment, and to be there with my girls, and I was like, oh God, I don't know how I'm going to do this on the last show. And it was always a thought of every time, it was always getting that one show closer. And then before we knew it was our last one, and we didn't even know.
Yeah.
And like all those little moments of, or like when it's your last show, I guess you kind of look at things in almost like a different light. And like there's certain moments where you go, oh, I'm never going to see that again. Or I don't know when I'm going to see that, or if I'm going to see that again, or I love when that person does that. And sometimes just listening to, like, for example, the one moment where I'd get to sit in the show and see, Amelia saying, I don't need your love. And just, I know that's a moment where I would have been able to have gone, oh, I'm so lucky. And even though I knew I was lucky every show, you never had that last time of going, it was the last time that I saw that. And yeah, that's something I'm gutted I'll never,
you
that
almost
we won't
kind
have.
Of go through this process of making sure what you're seeing cements in your brain.
Yeah.
Because you know it's the last time. You're like, I'm going to thoroughly take this,
remember this, every single bit of this moment. Yeah. And because in a way it unfortunately it didn't happen, now I'm like, oh God, I hope I don't forget anything. And I don't know, it's a weird one, because it's like, well, you did it all the time and like surely you're still remembering. It's like, but it's different. Yes, I appreciated every time I was on that stage and doing the show. Yeah. But there's just a different energy about a last show.
The last show, I think. You're definitely more, I feel like from a performer's point of view, you're more present. I feel like you're very much, you need to kind of soak it all in, and it becomes a part of you because you know this is it. From here, we figure out. But yeah, that, man.
I told you I cry really easy. But yeah, that's something I'm gutted we'll never have.
Yeah, 100%. But hopefully we do get to see you all on stage at some point doing something, if not this show.
Fingers crossed.
Because it would be amazing.
Yeah.
we've touched on your favorite moment in the show being that chorus beforehand. What do you think your favorite harmony is in the show?
Ooh.
Because there are some pretty wicked ones in here.
Mm. Oh, that's a tough one. I do love the one that's in that moment with the five more minutes.
That is my favorite.
That's I do enjoy that one. Oh, another one I enjoy is the end of I Don't Need Your Love, even though I am dying at that moment. And he's trying to find the breath and we're right behind par. I think that We Don't Need Your Love, that one. Mm, yeah, I like that one. We're all dead. We're all dying. But I think because we're all just giving it and be like, I've got nothing left in my tank at that moment. I think that's also another reason why I really enjoy that harmony, because it also sounds sick because we're just there like, bah!
Love that. Second last question. Mm-hmm. Your favorite bit of choreography to learn?
Ooh. I really love Get Down. The beginning bit.
Yeah.
When we're all behind Cleves, it's so powerful. We're so cool. We're supporting our girl. Like, she looks fierce. And I like to think I'm looking cool. I personally, myself, might be quite awkward and not as cool, which I guess kind of works for Jane in a way of, but I feel strong and powerful and fierce in that moment. And I think learning that was just like, oh, it was sweet. It was just like, oh,
yeah.
Get Down.
That. Get Down is definitely one of my favorite ones to watch. Just the outburst of going from kind of this Spanish into the quickness of Don't Lose Your Head, and then you've got the Park and Bark, you just kind of sit there and everyone kind of sways in the background, and then it explodes with Holbein, and then you come into this really intricate kind of hip-hop
Get Down. It's just like it's like Holbein is almost like the atom bomb, like it kind of goes wild with Holbein, and then you it's that where it comes back in.
It's almost coming back into an emotional peak for Par. Mm. So you go like big for Holbein, and then it kind of weaves it way back through everybody for Par's ending, and then explodes back out the bottom for.
Mm.
Wow, this show is built so damn well. I've never seen
that. I know.
You explode with X-Wives.
X-Wives.
It kind of funnels down and then explodes back out to funnel back in. Wow, man, we've just uncovered something I've never thought of about this show. Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love it so much.
Lucy and Toby, you guys.
But it's like when you think you can't, they can't give you any more. There's more.
It's like I thought I'd dug enough into this show, and now I'm like, nope, definitely haven't.
Nope, there's still more. They literally every word. Every moment, every little tiny intricate detail is there for a reason. 100%.
What I would give to be in a room when they explain it, I would, man, I can't even imagine what you guys go through. Your face just said it all just then. Your face was like, it's freaking magic.
You can't process it all. It's just so jaw-dropping. I just feel like I'm just like, oh. And there's so many little things. You're like, oh my God, I didn't realize. And then it's those light bulb moments I was saying in rehearsals when they were talking about it all, just being like, oh my gosh. And like you're reading the script, you're like, oh, how did I not see this before? Or just hearing different interpretations. Like there was, there were things that Georgia would do. She would do, she had a different interpretation, I think, originally for some of the Howard lines. And I was just like, wow, I'd never thought of it being portrayed in that way. And some things they were like, oh my God, I love your interpretation, but that's not what we're going for. And it was like, oh, such a shame. And then there was moments where you were like, I completely understand. But it's just amazing with working with all these different performers as well as this incredible script to see in all the different things that can be brought to it every time. So I'd love to see the show I'd love to see all of them because I'd just want to know what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
Especially now that I've done it. I'm like, oh, what would you do? What do you do in this moment?
I've just thought of another question. Besides your own monologue, whose was your favorite to hear?
Pars.
Yeah.
I think Pars is another great one.
Yeah.
It's just because in the way the monologues are done so well, and they really, oh, mind you, I do enjoy Arrogance is a fun one.
Arrogance is just the perfect start to the show.
It sets up the song. it's basically part of the song. It's all timed. Like, you know what I mean? It is all part of it in a way. And it's just so cheeky. It's so fun. So much attitude. Yeah. So I do enjoy Arrogance. But I think also just I used to love always. I don't think it's because it could just be because of the moment. It was the moment I got to sit down on the show. I get to watch Amelia do that, and her interpretation of it was so fun but still very truthful.
Yeah.
And powerful. Yeah. So I think probably, yeah, Pause.
And coming out of that into that I Don't Need Your Love where you guys get up, that is my favorite piece of choreography in the show. That hit me in the hand like that. The first time I saw that, I was like, this is so
bye bye.
So yeah. Good. Well, Amy, that brings us to the end. We are here. We survived, we cried, we laughed. If you guys want to follow
lost Wi-Fi.
If you guys want to follow Amy on any socials, I'll drop all her links down below. So make sure you go check her out and show her some love. You know where you can find us. That's Oz Queendom and the Queendom Cast. And we will be back next week with another episode. But before we wind up, we have one last question. Being away from the show now, Amy, what's the biggest thing you miss?
My girls. Easy.
That wasn't even a second thought. That was just straight up.
Yeah.
How are you feeling after your meeting yesterday?
It's probably the reason I cried today. It's just like it's like topping up the tank, you know, until I get to see them again.
Yeah,
I miss them a lot.
All right, queens, we'll leave you on that note this week. Make sure you hit subscribe so you're getting all those notifications from when we drop our next episode. We do Saturdays at around 6 or 7 p.m. so stay tuned and we will see you then. Bye, queens.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.